So he just said, open your Bible. So I opened it up, and the first verse I looked down, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. So I said, okay, I got it, you know. So I want to talk about just forgiveness today, because as we move into what we've seen today, that's the miraculous, and which is normal. We say that's just normal, brown bag Christian, right? People getting healed. The same Jesus that lived the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Same Jesus who lived then lives today, now, in and through us. And so that's normal. Where did y'all pray for her, Bracken? Was it here or?
You?
Okay. Amen. So cool. As we move forward, for you personally, like if you want Jesus to flow through you, right? And if you want to get to the number one thing that would hinder the life of Jesus flowing in you, that's the number one thing. It's going to be forgiveness, right? We see that in our inner healing ministry. We see that, in life in general. And I'll show you, the Lord really started speaking to me about this issue because I always haven't been the best forgiver, you know. In our relationship, our marriage relationship, you know, if TC did something or hurt my feelings, I may go, you know, I used to go like several days just kind of, you know, giving her a little side pat hugs or not really speaking, you know, and because I thought I was, you know, she didn't deserve it. I was justified, right? What she did was much worse than, you know, anything I did. So I can't remember what it was, but something I perceived as her being, I think it was, she's just being rebellious. I forgot what it was, you know. And so for a few days, I was just like, you know, I was just kind of upset with her. And this was years ago and, you know, not really communicating well, you know. So early one morning, the Lord kind of woke me up and I really heard this. I need to talk to you, you know. So I thought, I don't think this is going to be good. You know, it just kind of had that tone to his voice, like I'm in trouble. And so, I saw this verse written out, and I knew, I had no idea what it was fixing to say. It was like Ezekiel, I think it was 16, verse 52. So, y'all might know what Ezekiel 16:52 says. I had a clue what that verse said. So when I turned to it, and it was the Lord was speaking to me, and he said, okay, you think that TC has been rebellious, right? And I said, okay. All right? So we're going to weigh what you're doing against what she's doing. Okay? And this is what this verse says. And you put her instead of they. It says, also bear your disgrace in that you have made judgment favorable for your sisters, is what it says. So judgment's in favor of her, not for you. Not good, right? It says, because of your sin, or your sins, you know, in the singular here, in which you acted are worse than hers. Than they. It says they, but hers. She was putting her in there. She is more in the right than you. Be ashamed and bear your disgrace in that you have made your sisters wrong or sin appear righteous compared to yours. Okay? And I'm like, oh, man. Because see, what I was doing was I was withholding mercy. I was withholding forgiveness. And so in the sight of the Lord, when he was weighing them out, right? We'll see that in a minute in Scripture. Mine made hers appear righteous. So, my sin made the sin of rebellion look righteous before God. I thought, man, Lord, this is serious, right? And George read, I mean, we read from the Gospel of the Sermon on the Mount today. So, that's kind of where I want to start in chapter 6 of Matthew. We'll turn there. We're just going to read some verses on this. I'm always challenged by this because I want the Lord to search me. Try me, see if there's anybody in my life that I am not forgiving or withholding forgiveness from, right? All right. This is Matthew 6, and when they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And starting in verse 9 of Matthew 6, he said, "Pray then in this way, that our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." We pray this all the time. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day," or today, "our daily bread. And forgive us our debts," or the word is trespasses or wrongs, right? "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." The way that's written, "Lord, forgive me in the same way I'm forgiving other people." Okay? You see what we're asking the Lord to do? Hey, God, forgive me. I want you to forgive me the same exact way I'm forgiving other people. Okay? Y'all, do we really want that? Right? And then, of course, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Or actually, the original was, "Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory." Then it says this. We always stop. I wish we would just add this on to the end of this prayer. "For if you forgive others their transgressions against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions." Interesting. If you forgive others their sin against you, God will forgive you. But if you withhold and don't forgive, then God won't forgive you. Well, I thought I'm already forgiven. Right? Well, yeah. There's kind of, I would say, types of forgiveness. There's a positional forgiveness and a relational forgiveness. Right? In my position, all right, we'll read some scripture here. Familiar verses, 1 John chapter 1. "This is the message that we've heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, in Him there's no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess Him," if we confess or agree, right, "He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Right? So you have this positional thing that I'm in Christ and you're forgiven and you're going to heaven, right? What 1 John is talking about here is a relational relationship, because if you go back and read verse 4, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, right? My fellowship. Meaning that my fellowship with God is hindered if I'm not agreeing, because the word confess means to agree with, right? If I'm not agreeing with what He says, right, not what I think, that doesn't do anything. So God is not a negotiator, I've learned. And He never asked my opinion, you know. Yours either, Lily? Well, good. And that makes me feel better. Because He is truth, right? God is light. And so, in my relationship, that's where, when He says, if you don't forgive the sins of others, yours aren't forgiven, they aren't dealt with. Okay? And there's a problem there in my relationship with Him. Okay? In Mark chapter 11, I love this. This is after Jesus drives out the money changers and they see the come back and the fig trees withered. In verse 22 of Mark 11, "And Jesus answered them, saying, Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Awesome. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they'll be granted to you. Cool prayer stuff, right? Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions. Again, but if we do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Okay? So how many of us, every time we stand praying, every time we go into our prayer time, our foot, whatever you want to call it, forgive. Or make sure that there's no one that you haven't forgiven. He says every time you stand praying, right? All these cool things. I want to be able to say to this mountain, be cast into this, don't you? And knowing that all things I ask in prayer, believing, then I'll receive. So evidently, he means that if I'm walking in unforgiveness, it will hinder my prayer life. Right? It will hinder. That's a relational thing. Doesn't mean if I, you know, haven't forgiven and I go out and, you know, die, fall over with a heart attack, that I'm not going to go to heaven, right? Because I'm in Christ. So it's a relational. It's my fellowship is hindered. My prayers. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says of men, right, that if you aren't treating your wives in a Christ-like, godly way, your prayers will be hindered. Okay? I don't want that. I don't know about you. I don't want my prayers to be. I mean, I'm doing everything I can now, you know what I'm saying? To learn about prayer and stuff. I don't want a hindrance there. Okay? So it's a big deal with the Lord. Okay, you stand, you're going to go pray. Dan is fixing to have his little prayer time with Jesus, with him and Jesus, right? Make sure there's no unforgiveness there, Dan. You know? Because you know what? It's going to kind of static our time together. Okay? Again, doesn't mean you're lost. Okay? But it does grieve him. You know that? There's two places that talk about grieving the Holy Spirit in Scripture. You know? One is found in 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, when I'm not, rejoice always in everything. Pray this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, goes on about giving thanks, right? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance. So if I'm not giving thanks and in every situation I can grieve Him. And also in the second one comes out of Ephesians chapter 4. Familiar verses to us. I didn't mark that one in with my little pink markers. Important. This is all in one kind of paragraph together. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay? You were sealed in the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Done deal. But don't grieve Him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other the exact same way that God in Christ has forgiven you. Okay? So, by not forgiving, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. That means I'm literally cutting off or squeezing His activity in my life. Okay? That means to grieve. He's grieved. He's like having your hand on the faucet and just you've turned it off. Okay? That's a big deal, right? I want to keep that faucet on, right? Don't you? All right. So here's the biggie. This is the best teaching in all of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 18, a lot of familiar stuff, verses in here. I think someone put on Facebook, I think it was a quote from one of these older guys, Spurgeon or something. He's like, don't be upset. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. When someone or your brother is angry with you, you know. Because actually, it's worse than what he thinks it is. Right? So don't be upset when somebody's upset with you, you know. Because actually, it's worse than what he thinks it is. Right? Talking about if I've sinned against someone, you know, hurt them, it's a lot worse than they think it is. So what I've discovered about people who have a hard time forgiving is a couple of things. One, either they don't understand how much of a sinner they are, and they need a revelation of that. And most people that live like that live under the law, okay? And they have a standard, and they're living under the law, and other people aren't meeting up to that standard, and that's what they judge it by. All right? But when you get a real revelation of the grace of God and how much of a sinner and apart from Him, like how as Revelation chapter 3 puts it, you know, you don't realize that you're miserable, blind, and as we say, naked. Right? What apart from Christ who we are. Right? So people have a hard time forgiving. Usually you can almost bet that they live under the law. They don't live under grace. Right? Because living under grace, you get a revelation of that. So you don't understand how much of a sinner. And two, they don't understand maybe how much they've been forgiven. Right? Because that's what Matthew chapter 18 is all about. Again, familiar scripture. Starting in verse 21. Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? You know, surely there's got to be a cutoff somewhere, right? And he means that you know, I've heard this before. This means the same sin, right? Someone who comes to me with the same, he's saying, Jesus, somebody comes to you and they've done the same thing to you, you know, there's got to be like, let's pick a holy number like seven. That's a good number, right? Seven is a cutoff. Eight, you know, they're out. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And he explains what living in the kingdom. When he says the kingdom, this is what life in the kingdom. When I read other scripture to you, is what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, is what life in the kingdom is supposed to look like, right? He said, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. So he gave him 10,000. He owed him 10,000 talents. Okay? 10,000. One talent was 15 years worth of wages, a wage. So what a person would make in 15 years is one talent. Okay? He owed this guy 10,000. So 150,000 years of wage, of what you make in a year. That's what he owed. An astronomical amount, right? Even when they were hearing it, like, oh my gosh, it'd be like somebody saying $1 trillion, like Bracken owes me $1 trillion. And I want my payment right then, right? Which is $1,000 billion. He says, I don't have it almost, but I don't have that, right? And so he says, please forgive me, and I forgive him. All right? Of course, y'all, that is us. in Jesus, right? That's how much we've been forgiven, each one of y'all, each one of us. That's how much we owed Him. Okay? But that slave went out and found one of his fellows who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage, so about 3 months, right? Seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground, began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all of that debt because you pleaded with me. So should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave and in the same way that I had mercy on you?" Right? Forgive us as we forgive. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each one of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. Okay? Meaning, you will be handed over to torturers. So, here's how you know. Here's what a torturer looks like, right? Somebody that torments you or tortures you is just always with you, right? Tormenting you. Have you ever noticed if there's someone that you hadn't forgiven or you've walked in unforgiveness like I did, how miserable you are? Right? That's the tormentors. Resentment, bitterness, anger. Right? It doesn't leave you. Right? So if you've got those things flying around you, okay, and you can't let go of this thought or this what that person did to you, and it's just in your mind all the time and you're replaying it, okay, then you probably haven't forgiven. Right? Because forgiving from the heart is forgiveness based on how much I've been forgiven. All forgiveness is always based on that. Okay? Remember how much you owed and were forgiven. Alright? So that's why I say sometimes it's, we need a revelation of how much we've been forgiven or how much of a sinner we are. Okay? Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We'll do one more. I use this, probably that passage more than any one I use in ministry. I'm telling them from mostly of my own failures of this, right? This is Matthew 7. We'll end with these. And this one is used so much out of context all the time. Matthew 7, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." You know, people are always saying that. Don't be judging me. You know, this is not, we're going to see this is not what it's talking about. When somebody says, "Don't judge me," right? Because the Bible says not to judge. It's not talking about, you telling them what they're doing is wrong. Because sometimes they don't want to hear what they're doing is wrong, right? So they're using that, "Don't judge me." But this is not what Jesus is talking about, as we see. "For in the way that you judged, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." Okay? Whatever yardstick you use to measure someone, the same is going to be measured to you. Right? "Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye? You don't notice the log that's in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, 'Hey, let me take that speck out of your eye. Behold, this log or beam is in your own eye.' You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly how to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Okay? And in context of everything that Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount, the judge is to tell somebody what they deserve and what they don't deserve. Okay? Like I would say to Bert, you just don't deserve this, so therefore I'm not giving it to you. Okay? I've just put Bert under the standard of measure. I have a standard of measure that I measure. Right? And it's all about giving mercy, you know, which is forgiveness. Giving mercy and forgiving. Okay? So, Bert has done something to me, and I think it's pretty bad, and therefore I'm not going to be merciful to Bert because I don't think Bert deserves it. So I've just thrown this measuring rod to Bert. Okay? Guess what? It's coming back to me. Then the Lord will say, okay, Craig, let's measure you by this same measuring rod here. Okay? By your standard, it'll be measured back to you. When you read the Sermon on the Mount in Luke, I want to read this verse because it's so good, because I always read it. That's when you give money, you know. All right, love your enemies, do good, lend and expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Right? Matthew passage says, be perfect, just as He's perfect. So, the most perfect thing about Jesus or about God is that He's merciful, right? Even to people who don't deserve it. Do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Pardon, you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. Right? So this whole thing about this pouring into your lap, running over, giving, it will be given to you, is all about giving mercy. All about giving forgiveness and mercy to people. That if you do that, then it's going to just pour all over you. Be so much that you cannot contain it. Okay? So, I don't know about you, but I want to be in the flow of mercy. Right? Blessed are the merciful, they will obtain mercy. The unmerciful will obtain unmercy. Right? Yeah. Really, it's what it says, right? So, that's the flow. We want the flow of Jesus because that's who He is. One thing we tell people all the time, TC and I, that forgiveness is supernatural, meaning it takes another. And you have the one who forgave the world living within you. Right? And all He has to have from us is just a yes and amen. Yes, Lord, I forgive. I choose. My emotions may not be in it, but I'm going to choose to do this because it's the right thing to do. And I don't want tormentors, right? I don't want torturers. I don't want my prayers hindered, right? I don't want you to be measuring me by the standard of measure that I judge other people by. Because if I don't let them get away with anything, you're not going to let me get away with anything either. Mercy triumphs over judgment, right? And then you go read James, the end of chapter 1. That's what it's talking about. I mean, it's in chapter 2. Right? It actually says, judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay? I don't know what all that means, but I know it ain't good. and I want to be in mercy. Okay? I don't want judgment to be merciless to me. And I'm in need of a lot of mercy, y'all. You know? I'm in need of it every moment. You know? So are you. Right? Well, amen. Well, today, if you've God may have exposed something in you you may have forgotten about, or maybe something, I would say forgive, right? Healing to your body and your soul. Well, let's stand, and may the peace of the Lord be always with you.